Pray, O Lord, that you would bless my lips, help me to communicate the truth of your holy word, and help us to be strengthened in our faith in you, our hope in you, and our love for you. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we come to a passage, and sometimes songs go through my mind of my earlier childhood. I remember when I was preaching through the Gospel of Mark not all that long ago, I came to the passage where a man was healed. And I told you, I can't help it, but I hear Johnny Cash in the background singing, I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking. Well, in today's passage, I can't help it, but a chorus runs through my mind. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. You're glad I'm not singing. Walking and leaping and praising God. Well, there's an interconnection of the things we were taught as children, the songs that were taught us connected to the passages that were taught to us. And so that tune rings out in my mind. Well, this morning, this is really the second sermon that Peter preaches under similar but different circumstances. In Acts 2, we have the miracle of Pentecost. The people ask, what does this mean? And he tells them how the gospel is related to that miracle of Pentecost. Here in Acts 3, again, we have a miracle of the healing of the man who was lame and how that relates to the gospel. And so this morning I want to think about and have us think on the sign, the miracle of Christ's deliverance, and then the message of Christ's deliverance, for Peter covers both in this passage. And first, under the sign or miracle of Christ's deliverance, I want us to think about the fact that this was an unanticipated miracle. Acts 3, 2 and 3 says this, at least about the man who was lame. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. Peter and John were going about their normal custom of going to the temple for daily prayers at the given hour. Here it's the ninth hour, which in the Jewish rendering, since the first hour of the day is 6 a.m., the ninth hour would be 3 p.m. Observant Jews would pray at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m., which was already a custom in the book of Daniel, for it says that Daniel the prophet prayed, as it was his custom, three times a day. The lame man did not seek for the apostles to heal him. He's asking for alms. He's not asking for healing. He's asking for alms. The likelihood of, since he was lame from birth, he has adjusted the fact that he's lame. We're not sure if the apostles, how far they knew in advance that this miracle was going to happen, but it would appear that the only person who knew that something was coming ahead of time was God. The man was not seeking a miracle, but God orchestrated and brought about a miracle to show forth the power of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Second thing under this sign miracle of Christ's deliverance is the extent of this sign miracle. Acts 3, 6, 8 records the interaction between the lame man and Peter. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The miracle gave the man the total ability to walk and to move about with strength and vigor. The man didn't just walk about immediately, but he was walking and leaping. This is not the method of slow healing that some of you have experienced through hip and knee replacement. You do heal, but it takes weeks and months. For those of you who have had either a knee and hip replacement, it's hard enough to walk the day of your surgery, but you're certainly not walking and leaping. You just don't do that. But this man was able to walk. His ankles were immediately healed and strengthened like they never were before. This sign points to the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so since he was raised from the dead, what is it but a small measure of God's infinite power to, at the drop and snap of a finger, this man's ankles are strengthened, and strengthened totally and immediately. And we would say comprehensively. So I want to move next to what is the meaning behind this event of the immediate and total strengthening of this man. And that gets to the message of Christ's deliverance. The sign happened by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts 3:16, Peter explains and interprets the message of this miracle. 3:16 says of Acts 3, "And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." In this verse, twice it is the name of Jesus that has healed this man. A little bit of Hebrew here. The name. Ha Shem, the name. The man was healed and strengthened by the name of Jesus. In the ancient world, a name was not merely a label. It invoked and stood for a person's character, presence, and power. In the book of Psalms, for instance, there are 30 references to God's name. This emphasis on the divine name, God's name, the name of the Lord, in the Old Testament is carried over into the New Testament as well. In the New Testament, such as in our epistle reading this morning, we hear that Luke tells us that the Apostle Peter said the man who was lame was to walk in the name of Jesus. It is not just those five letters, J-E-S-U-S, that has healed this man, because there were lots of Jews in the first century who had the name Jesus. In fact, the word Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew Joshua. There's lots of people called Jesus or Joshua. In fact, to this day, pretty common Hispanic name, Jesus. So both in past and present, there's a lot of Joshuas, Jesus, Jesus. But they're not, Peter's not talking about just any Joshua, Jesus, Jesus. He's talking about one. Jesus of Nazareth has healed this man. And so calling on the name of Jesus, trusting in his name, or in the case of Acts 3, a man being healed by the power of Jesus, means Jesus' whole person and identity is what healed this man, Jesus of Nazareth. while people who were there and witnessed this first-hand account of this healing may have wrongly interpreted that Peter and John healed this man. But Peter clarifies this in Acts 3:12. Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our power or piety we have made him walk? Peter and John were servants of Jesus Christ, but Jesus healed this man. It is the identity of Jesus of Nazareth as revealed in the New Testament fully as one who is truly God, truly man, the Messiah, the anointed King of Israel, who came down from heaven to do totally and fully the work appointed to him by God the Father. This Jesus healed this man. Let us dig more into what Peter tells us about Jesus as Lord in this passage. Acts 3:13 through 15 says this: The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. Notice in these three verses, Peter speaks how God was glorified in the death of his son and how men acted unjustly in the death of Christ on the cross. Peter does not go into great depths about how God is glorified in the death of his son. He just says that God is glorified in the death of Christ, and that this death was promised through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In calling the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is making the point that the God of the Old Testament, who made a covenant with the patriarchs of the Old Testament, is also the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there is a direct line of continuity between God's promises to his people in the Old Testament to the death of Jesus, which is the fulfillment of those promises. It is the death of Christ and his resurrection, which is the fulfillment of the promises that God would provide salvation for his people. God has given us promises in the Old Testament through the patriarchs, and these promises are fulfilled in the death of Christ. What man intended for evil, God had ordained for our salvation. Both are true. Man intended evil, God had ordained for our salvation. Notice also the actions of sinful men in these verses. This one, Jesus, whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate finally gave in to the cries and wishes of the crowd who yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him," Peter says, "You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but instead put to death the Prince of Life." Twice in these short verses, the word disowned is used. The word translated disowned can also mean deny and repudiate. In fact, while these verses speak of the disowning and denial of Christ's true identity by both Jewish religious leaders and Pilate, in fact, Peter was guilty of denying Christ before this trial ever began. So Christ suffered and died for us sinners, Jews and Gentiles. Christ suffered and died that we might be made right with God. And so in this same event in history, the death of Christ, what man intended for evil, God intended for good and for our salvation. And so God the Father is glorified in the death of his Son because he had ordained his Son to suffer in our place, to reconcile us to God. Notice also the names and attributes that Peter gives to Jesus in this passage. Peter calls Jesus God's servant, which harkens back to Isaiah 40 through 53, which speaks of God's servant culminating in the suffering servant who suffered and died in our place. Jesus is called also the Holy and Righteous One and the Prince of Life. These attributes, righteousness, holiness, and being the author of life, belong to God and God alone. And attributing them to Jesus, Peter is confessing that Jesus is God. It's true. The Lord Jesus is the divine Son of God. And so he is righteous, he is holy, and he is the author of life. While Jesus was sentenced to death and he died, Peter reminds us that he did not remain dead, but God raised Jesus from the dead. He had died, but he was raised to life, and he is alive forevermore. And this healing is demonstration that Jesus is alive. Christ healing this person, even though our Lord was not bodily present in his resurrection life, he seated at the right hand of God, and yet Christ is also God, so he's everywhere at once. That's a mystery. And we still have this mystery. Jesus was raised, he has ascended into heaven, but he's also present right here because he's God and therefore everywhere at once. The apostles were the chosen vessels and instruments through which Jesus worked this miracle, but this man was healed not by Peter and John, but by Jesus himself, even though Jesus wasn't physically there anymore. But it was the Lord who strengthened this man's ankles and caused him to walk. In fact, our Old Testament reading talks about that, that God would come and would cause the lame to walk, the blind to see. These were signs that Messiah had come. May God strengthen us to believe in this Jesus in the fullness of his identity as God's Son and servant and the only Lord and Savior of the world. May we rise to serve him and fully trust in him for both the present and the eventual healing of our bodies and our souls. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your mighty works and your miracles which you wrought through the prophets of old and through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and through your holy apostles. Help us to have a grateful remembrance of your gracious and mighty wonders, and help us always to trust in your power to save and deliver. Even as we remember the healing of this lame man, help us to trust in you to heal the impurities and infirmities of our souls. These things we ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.